Today I'm going to be talking about the BugBox framework, how BugBox is helping us in our research at University of Maryland, and potentially how it can help you with your own research back at home. I hope for you to understand what BugBox offers as a whole by the end of this presentation. So, our research back at home is centered around studying past vulnerabilities and looking at them and understanding what makes the vulnerabilities tick to detect and prevent future vulnerabilities from happening in software. To do this type of analysis, we need a large collection of data to be able to do the statistical analysis on the data, and it needs to be well structured. So the data that we're looking at collecting is specifically metrics that characterize vulnerable code, collecting new types of vulnerability signatures, and looking at the relationships of adding new features to programs and what vulnerabilities those new features add when the features are added to the program. So the need that we had at University of Maryland was a collection of vulnerable applications with clearly identified vulnerabilities and metadata. Here, the metadata that I'm specifically talking about is the labeling process with exploits themselves, be able to select data by exploit class, to be able to select data by privilege level for exploits, whether or not you need admin privileges, etc. And not only did we need this data, but we needed a software framework on top of the data to be able to execute and rerun tests. So BugBox was created to address this need. It's a corpus of web application vulnerabilities and associated exploits. Not just that, it's a testbed allowing for repeatable experiments and automated data collection. So what we provide with BugBox are these application modules and these exploit modules. Application modules being applications from the web that are scripted so that they're automated and installable in the framework. It's also a collection of exploit scripts, Python scripts, that use the Selenium framework, which I'll talk about later on in the presentation. And it's also a sandbox. Anything that you do to, that you want to use, any application that you want to use for testing, it's going to be operating in a contained environment. So you don't have to be concerned that the environment is going to be contaminated. And like I said, it's a scriptable framework. So it allows us to adapt the framework to our needs, to our research needs back at University of Maryland. So this specific example is from the perspective of an experimenter that wishes to collect execution traces for a program to collect this data that we can perform analysis on. So the experimenter will go out and load application modules and exploits to the BugBox framework, and they'll select their experimental instrument. In this case, it'll be a feature that allows them to collect the trace data while the exploit's being applied to the application. Once the experimental instrument's been selected, they'll go ahead and collect the traces. So WordPress, in this case, will be mounted in the sandbox. And then an exploit that was specifically tailored to WordPress will be applied to the application. Now, if I need to rerun the experiment, I can do this very easily with the framework because everything is scripted. So in the end, I have a a framework that has reusable modules, automated data collection, and easily developed exploits. So, Bugbox, the first couple slides I used to talk about our research, what Bugbox is, and showed you an example of what you can do with Bugbox. Now I'm going to talk about some of the qualities that Bugbox has and some of the qualities that's helpful for us in our research. So for us, Bugbox is a corpus because it contains the collection of vulnerable applications that we can use for experimentation. It also has a collection of these exploit scripts. These exploit scripts are exploits that are taken from common vulnerability and exploit databases. We can see potentially a use for this in the community, because if it becomes a community corpus that's being used, then we could potentially have repeatable results and comparable results amongst the community. And in the end, like I said, we provide three key things. These exploit modules, which are the scripts, the Python scripts, PHP web applications, and their pre-patched vulnerable state. And this is being all distributed as a collection of items. And then finally, the instrumented data. And we're hoping to see the instrumented data from the community to be beyond what we are currently using it for at home. So at home, we're using it for trace collection, but also I'll show an example later on in the presentation where we're collecting packets, data packets. So the essential qualities of the corpus that we're providing, well, first of all, a corpus to us, we're drawing the definition from the linguistics community, well known in the linguistics community, and we feel that this is something that could be beneficial and also slightly present in our community. We're introducing this corpus because we need something that is that has representative examples that we can perform statistical analysis on. And we're trying to achieve this representativeness of examples through grabbing exploits from common databases such as CVE, OSVDB, and the exploit database. And we're hoping that if the community wishes to provide other exploits, that these are the type of exploits that they would provide to the framework. We're hoping that our framework is going to facilitate the replication of experiments because of the fact that it's scripted. And the nice thing about our framework is it's quality controlled. We have verification methods built in to our exploits to verify that the exploit ran correctly. Because exploits are scripted, they're auditable, they're verifiable. And then finally, we're providing metadata associated with applications and exploits so that you can run tests specifically on exploits by class or exploits by elevated privilege level, etc. Anything that you wish, or as a researcher, you feel is important for you to separate the data out by, you can do that in this framework. So not only is Bugbox a corpus, but it's also a testbed. It's a testbed that you can perform large-scale security experiments on, and you can run query and run exploits by class. Every time an exploit's run, it's run on a fresh application. So there's no concern of contamination between exploit to exploit. So your data results are the same for every run. Testing is contained. So not only are the applications not being altered, but the environment around it is not being altered. And exploits are scripted. So every time we can ensure the replicability of results because you're running the same script every time. Bugbox is also a framework. It's a framework for quick module development. So the exploit modules that I talked about earlier specifically use the Selenium Browser Automation Framework. And for us, this is really helpful in development because we can automate any action that a user has that a user would do manually.
Sorry, how do you know that an application installation is successful?
So scripts are pre-written for an application. So at the end of the day, you can actually the application becomes is in a hosted environment, so you can actually navigate to the application in the browser to see that it's actually installed. So the exploit won't actually work if the application's not properly installed. So the idea is that this application is built. The script for the application is built ahead of time, right? So all that testing is gone in to make sure that the application is appropriately installed. So if it's manual in the beginning, that's fine. You've done that testing to make sure the application's installed. So then once you're providing that application module as a piece to Bugbox framework, you know that that application will work every time for you. It will be installed in the framework that you're using. So for us, Selenium has been very helpful because not only can we automate all of the actions that you could normally use to manually operate within the browser, you can see what is happening. Whatever script you're developing, you can visually see what is happening. We also have this software framework on top of the data. And with this engine that we have, it automatically installs these applications and automatically configures these applications, which I talked about a little bit earlier. Especially applications that have old dependencies, sometimes they can be hard to install. So you as a researcher now don't have to worry about these the finer details of making sure that everything's going to work for you. Everything has been scripted for you up front. Now, of course, if you're a developer for the framework, that's something that you would have to be concerned with. And we feel that the specific things that we've offered in the framework help for easy development in that sense. And then, of course, applications, since they're modules, they're reusable. So if somebody's already created a module for WordPress, for a specific version of WordPress, another person can go out and use that module. Same thing with exploits. Exploit modules are very helpful in the sense that you can look at somebody else's exploit that they've currently written and quickly develop one of your own if the exploits in the database aren't meeting your needs at the current time. So this is a quick example of the scripting that's needed to create an exploit in the Bugbox framework. It's just a small snippet of the exploit script. But what you're looking at up on the screen is literally just identifying the payload in the first line and initiating the Selenium driver. After you initiate the Selenium driver, we have, so Selenium also has a bunch of built-in methods to where you can interoperate with the browser, but we've also added in some extra redundancy in the sense that if when you're loading pages and you're doing this in a scripted environment, sometimes the pages don't load fast enough. So you are trying to grab an element that may not be present on the page. So we've incorporated in some redundancy to where it's going to try a couple times and make sure that the exploit's being run. We also have a verification function that is not shown up on the screen, but it goes back in and verifies that the exploit was run correctly. So you can ensure that when you're running your tests, as long as you have verification set up or selected, you can ensure that your exploits were run correctly. Yeah?
Why is it easier or better to do this at the DOM level than at the HTTP level, where you can just write and send out a post with a certain set of...
So one of the nice things is the fact that Selenium has that JavaScript functionality built in. So you don't have to wrap your head around working with different components that might take you a little bit longer to develop with. You can still develop without using Selenium. That's fine. This is just added in there to kind of present a quick, easy way to get started with the framework. So a couple of the applications that we can foresee being Bugbox being used for is the evaluation of IDS systems, or intrusion detection systems, intrusion prevention systems, looking at software hardening techniques such as changing Apache settings while you're running the suite of applications or the suite of exploits on an application to see if it can potentially harden programs. We're also looking at evaluating static analysis tools. So if you're provided a set of vulnerabilities, the fact that our corpus provides you some idea of what type of vulnerabilities you're dealing with, it might help you a little bit in evaluating these static analysis tools and predictive models. And then finally, since we have a collection of these exploits, they're great for education and demonstration. And when I get to my lessons learned slide, I'll talk about how we had interns over the summer that had very little knowledge of not just Bugbox, but exploits in general, and they were able to provide to the framework. So what I'm going to show you real quick is an example of a cross-site request forgery being applied to WordPress and the packets being collected as it's being run. So on the left side, if you can't read it, it's all right. The left bottom side is the Bugbox framework being run. The top left is the packets being collected. And on the right is this visual piece that we talked about with the Selenium framework, where it's running through the script and popping up the each section in the script is being applied to the browser. And packet capture here could be fed to intrusion detection system. So the lessons learned that we have were all gained through other people using our system. For the past two summers, we've had interns helping us with our research, collecting data to perform our research. And we decided to let them loose on the Bugbox system. So we found that developing exploit scripts were accelerated when they had examples. The fact that the vulnerabilities were self-documenting, the fact that we had these exploit scripts already written. So of course you can go out to a vulnerability database and read exactly what the vulnerability was. But for our interns, they were kind of new to the field, so they didn't know exactly where to start. So they could use these exploits that were pre-written for the corpus to help develop and add to the corpus. It also structured development tasks for them. So instead of just telling them to go out and collect this data, they knew exactly what steps they had to go through. Is the application module part of the BugBox framework? If not, they have to add it in real quick. Once the application is added to the framework, they have to start developing the script. Well, if they don't know what a cross-site request forgery is, they can go into the BugBox and look at a script that was already made towards the cross-site request forgery. And then we found that because we were working with contributors that weren't familiar with the space, that it was helpful to have these verification, validation, and testing procedures built into the framework so that we can ensure that the exploits are being run correctly. And then finally, we found that live playback really helped up speed up development. So to conclude, hopefully you have an understanding of what BugBox is and what it can potentially do. Right now we have 71 exploits that were developed over the summer. They're available at that web address, and we have a Debian package there for you to install. We also have a GitHub repository for you to pull up the application. So we welcome any contributions. That's all I have. Yes, so they're not dependent at all to PHP specifically. Because we're operating with the browser, it's potentially open to any web application for data collection.
Okay. And so, I mean, I guess the question is, are you've got a browser in the system as well? Are you using a real browser?
No, we actually, the Selenium framework uses the Firefox browser by default, but I think it also has some other compatibilities as well with potentially Chrome or something else. Yeah.
So the, if we understand you have one platform, one hardware platform, and your framework plus the test subject are on the same machine.
Yes.
So do you then assume that all your vulnerabilities are only affecting at the application level and do not affect below it?
Yes.
Drivers,
that actually ended up being a natural outcome based off of the exploits that we were looking at. Because they were exploits pertaining to web applications, they ended up being specific to web applications, and they altered the web application itself rather than the OS. So yes, when we say that we are not affecting anything externally, it's also because these exploits are specific to the application.
But I guess, is there some way to verify that, or maybe test
if that's true? I did say that we were using this sandboxed environment. We're specifically using chroot jails. So we'll mount the application into that chroot jail, and we'll perform all the operations, and then we will clean up the environment and revert back to a new environment every time we run another experiment. Sure.
Do you motivate your choice of using Druids instead of VMs? It seems like VMs would have the ability to checkpoints up here. They require a lot of state to be built up.
Sure. So we've actually used both. We originally were looking at using VMs, and this was kind of a development choice in the sense that it was easy to do file manipulations, move files back and forth, easy to start up the application, install the applications in the chroot jail, instantaneous. We have worked with automation of VMs. So for this, it was more of a design choice to get up and running quickly. But we could foresee using VMs as well in this case.
How many applications do you have?
So right now we have 14 applications, and the 71 exploits to those 14 applications.
For the 17 does not run for all 14
applications, right? Say it again.
So you said you have X application and Y exploit, but what's the average application to exploit ratio?
So it's pretty well distributed. We're trying, when we were developing the exploits, we were trying to make sure that we weren't developing for obviously one application. So having 30 exploits for WordPress wasn't really going to facilitate our needs. So we wanted to make sure that we had a pretty even distribution between
4 or 5 each.
Something like that. Yeah.
One more question. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the context for building BugBox? What use cases does this enable for you guys doing the other research that this supports?
Yeah, sure. Actually, this is a great question for Jeff Stuckman, who's also working in our lab.
Yes, the context for that is that you're trying to do some research in vulnerability prediction or risk estimation. And what we found since a lot of the particular estimation work is done in the past is that it's either a very limited set of vulnerabilities that we're planning against, or we didn't think enough was known about those vulnerabilities. Like they said, the applications were vulnerable, but it was hard to tell exactly how or exactly what part of the functionality was implemented. So by coupling the vulnerability in the exploits this test environment, we're ensuring that if we have any questions about those vulnerabilities or any kind of data we want to collect, like with dynamic trace collection, like marking vulnerable Wren's code or anything like that, we're in an environment where we can do all those things easily and then compare and make sure we have the best results we can.
So when we say the defective versions, it's actually the different distributions. So WordPress 3.3, WordPress 3.3.2, just different versions. The way we did it was we looked for the specific exploit, and then we figured out which application pertained to that exploit. But it can be expanded out to whatever application.
So but do you have versions that have the exact so that tests can run it no longer conquers that defect? Would that be useful for people doing static code analysis, quality control?
Sure. Yeah, we'll have to incorporate that. Right now we don't, but that would be very easy to incorporate it.
Okay. Well, I got one last question if you don't mind. So you mentioned at the beginning of the talk that one of your goals was metrics of vulnerabilities.
Right.
I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about any kind of metrics that you to the 71 vulnerabilities and where you hope to use those metrics for?
So this actually goes back to the research that we're trying to do in order to use metrics to kind of identify vulnerabilities in code, in the sense that we're trying to use this framework specifically to isolate down specific traces of those programs and collect that trace data that is specific to those to that vulnerable code. And then from that vulnerable code, create signatures, metric signatures based off of that code and use that for predictive capabilities.
Thank you. And any last questions? All right, let's thank the speaker.